yesterday with, we had finished on the Legislative Fiscal Office's recommendation on page 2, we'd gone through item number 3. We were beginning under the additional budget notes 1 through 5. However, I understand that there were a couple of issues relative to questions that members had that they would like to direct to staff and or members of the legislative group that's here on behalf of the Oregon Department of Transportation. Representative Johnson is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your courtesy in allowing some of us that are freshmen to... We were moving awfully fast yesterday, and this is a good opportunity to catch up a little bit. I had a couple of questions on both budget note number 4 and the additional statement of expectations. My question on budget note number 4 that asks for another study dealing with aging drivers was twofold. We passed a bill yesterday that out of the House, House Bill 3071, and I needed some help to understand why the budget note is directing the department to do a study when we're passing legislation that will result in administrative rules being collaboratively drawn to speak to the aging driver issue.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, budget note number 4 does not direct the department to do another study. What its intent is to provide information that they say they've already gathered and present that information to the legislature with the options for creating a program to address the issues that establish the problems. And so in the event, well, currently the report that they provided to the legislature does not identify what the problem is, the magnitude of the problem, and that was of concern to the members of the legislature that had directed a study to be done by the department. And I have, there is another copy of the memo in front of you because I have reworked the memo a little bit to make that more clear. So when we go to the budget notes, we can talk about that. But right now, what I'm recommending is that the changes in there, starting with the second sentence, that the report provided to members of the Transportation Committee has provided a number of recommendations that fails to report the extent of the problem in Oregon drivers. Before implementing any recommendation, the department needs to provide the legislature with the appropriate comparative statistical information that establishes the basis for implementing changes in the driver program, and the director shall provide a report by December 2002 to the Emergency Board and appropriate Interim Policy Committee regarding the extent of the problem in Oregon, along with a range of options from a responsible minimum program to a comprehensive strategy proposed with this budget, so that the legislature has a basis for ways and means, and in this case it will be the Emergency Board for identifying what level to fund that.
Representative Johnson, did you find that was inconsistent with the intent of House Bill 3071?
But regrettably, I didn't bring a copy of 3071, but it was my understanding of that bill that we were directing the department to write rules speaking to the question of aging drivers, and I recall Dr. Bates making quite a comprehensive plea to include physicians in that rule writing, and I guess my question is compounded by the fact that DMV, I think, had asked for some money to do the older driver request, and that wasn't approved. And is the not approving the money tied to this budget note? I just don't know how they connect.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that's correct. The not approving the money is tied to this budget note. The agency, the policy package that the agency presented to in their budget is characterized to the legislative body as the first stage of 4 stages, and has been characterized to me as the least costly of those 4 stages. The agency has not presented information to Legislative Fiscal Office on what the cost for the other 3 stages are, so that the legislature can have a picture of the whole proposal. And in that regard, they need to provide that additional information before the legislature can make a recommendation to approve it.
Mr. Chair,
please follow up.
So if 3071 makes it through the process, will ODOT just be, or DMV just be using existing resources to promulgate those rules?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, if they move forward with that, yes.
Okay.
Further questions, Representative Johnson?
That was the only one on that budget note.
Okay.
On the additional statement of expectations, I wasn't sure that I understood what direction we were giving them.
Let's go ahead and move on to the additional statement of expectations while we are there. Go ahead, please, Susie.
The statement of expectation, the first paragraph there, that is to directing the agency to put together an implementation plan addressing all legislation that passes out of, that is adopted and signed by the governor that has a fiscal impact, so that they come back and show those bills that had a decrease in their spending requirements and those that had an increase, and the most effective or efficient way of carrying out the legislative direction. So that is to let them know that we expect them to come back with an implementation plan.
Yes, follow up. Representative Johnson.
One more question, Ms. Jordan. Does the timeline work out well enough? I don't know all the plethora of ODOT-related legislation that's making its way through the system, but is there the possibility that they could be implementing legislation before they have a chance to come back with a plan? I don't know. Some of the legislation that may be passing could declare an emergency.
Stranger things have happened.
Chair Butler and Representative Johnson, it depends. It does depend on the bill, and those bills that are critical in nature will end up down here in Ways and Means, and we would adopt expenditure authority to go along with that.
Thank you. Before we move on to Senator Yu's question, we'll go ahead then, and Representative Patrick moves that we approve the additional budget notes 1 through 5 and the additional statement of expectations. Are there any objections? Seeing none, we will order those 5 budget notes and the additional statement of expectations. Let's see. Senator Yee, before we actually go into the final amendments, which are basically have all been approved, but just need to be incorporated now into the Senate bill, we would like to go ahead and have you have an opportunity to ask some questions relative to performance measurements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We were given a one-page summary of performance measures from Economic Transportation Department, and I appreciate this one-page summary, which is what I asked for, that shows that past historical data, current status, and future goals. And I appreciate Mr. McMahon's good work in giving us the summary. We did get a stack of performance measures, and it's good to have a one-page summary.
They aim to please, Senator.
Do you all have a copy of this one-page summary?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you will find that copy of the one-page summary in your notebook attached to answers to April 3rd, 2001 questions. It's the last page.
Well,
please go ahead.
Well, after reviewing the performance measures, I thought it's meaningless unless we can prioritize them, so that we can concentrate on the ones that we really care about and not worry too much about the other performance measures, because everybody's busy. And when you look at a summary, you want to see the results that we are aiming for. So I would like to suggest that under the Transportation Safety Division, traffic fatalities per 100 miles per vehicle mile travel. I think the traffic fatality is what we are concerned with. So if they show a trend of declining, then I think it's good news. But if it shows a trend of going up, then we want to look at it and see what work needs to be done. So I would suggest that as our highest priority. It does look like it's declining, so I think that's a good trend. Second high in priority, I would suggest under Highway Division, percent of roads in fair or better condition. So historically, it's been about 78% in fair or better condition, but it looks like in the future years is declining to about 76%. And I think this is an area that Transportation Department needs to concentrate on having more work. The third high in priority, I would suggest DMV local office waiting time. The historical data shows that it's been 23 minutes and it's now at 12.8 minutes, which is good, but then it's going up to 15 minutes. And I think yesterday we talked about DMV being the first contact of the public with Transportation Department. And I think it's very important that they get good services. So I'm a little concerned that it looks like the waiting time is going up and we need to follow up on this.
Let me just ask a question.
Fourth and fifth.
Yes, mm-hmm. and let's get back to
yes.
Mr. Matt.
I would appreciate colleagues' input whether the priorities are where it should be. The fourth one I would suggest under Highway Division bridges. Here it says bridge value index, and I'm not sure what does it mean, but I would like to see bridges with limit on load limits be an information to us. What percentage of our bridges are under low limits? Because this will limit the truck drivers being able to use the bridges and therefore increase costs in freight and affect the economy of the state. So that's something we need to have. And the fifth one, I would suggest public transit annual ride for elderly and disabled Oregonians. It's been staying pretty flat for the last 5 years, and it looks like the rides are going to go up by year 03. So my colleagues who are going to be here next session can follow up to see whether the rights have in fact increased for the senior and disabled citizens. So I would appreciate hearing comments about these priorities, whether it's more meaningful to give it to us that way.
Representative Patrick is recognized, and then Senator Representative Johnson.
I think you could organize them within the in priority within the divisions, but I think it's difficult because we're doing so many. Because this department does so many different things,
mm-hmm.
and we have so many different facets of transportation, I think it's really, I don't disagree with you that there are some things that are higher priority, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like them how they're broken up in terms of all the different divisions. You have your transportation safety, you have your, your development, you have your highway division. So. I think you could rank them within the Transportation Safety Division. You could rank them within the Highway Division. Rather, that way they're broken up so you could look in various areas.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's hard.
But, it comes to mind that traffic safety is the most important thing. If our road is not safe, what good is our road? So I think that if you look at the fatalities, increasing that definitely tells you where the work needs to be done.
I might also tell you something to do with seatbelts, too, because seatbelts was one of the items under the Traffic Safety Division, Transportation Safety Division. So I think that there could be a number of combinations of issues. Representative Johnson?
Well, I would only make the observation that if I heard Senator Yee correctly, she said that one of the performance measures is the waiting time at DMV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's now going up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're on the cusp of cutting DMV's budget request rather substantially. And I wonder if we're asking the department to do two things, to perform vis-a-vis waiting times at DMV and then concomitantly making it difficult for them to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, with this budget, the legislature is not cutting DMV's budget. And with those performance measure predictions, they were predicting that they would go down if they did not get the field office positions restored, which they are getting under the LFO recommendation.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
One follow-up about the field offices, and I say this very respectfully, particularly vis-a-vis the Lapine office. My curiosity is in just having Ms. Jordan refresh us as whether or not the Milton Free Water office and the Coquille office are full-time offices.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the LFO recommendation is to restore field services to the field offices to the current services. The Milton Free Water office is currently at 5 days a week, or was currently at 5 days a week before they closed it. The department presented or provided information that would reopen those offices at that level. So Milton Free Water is a full-time office 5 days a week. The Oak Ridge office was 1 day a week. That is part-time office. The Coquille office was 5 days a week. That's to reestablish it at 5 days a week. And then the field office in Lapine is a 1 day a week. And I would add a caveat to that. It's an expectation that they would make a determination that if that is more time than is needed in those offices, that they would adjust that, or if it's less time, that they would come back and ask for additional time in there.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Representative Johnson.
I'm just speaking to Senator Yee's performance measures, and the curiosity that I have is I represent a rural district, so I'm very sympathetic to the fact that often the rural offices are the ones that get closed. So that's the backdrop against which I'm going to say what I'm about to say. Investing as much money as my good colleague Representative Smith pointed out, I'm curious why it is that in some of the higher percentage DMV offices where they're seeing more transactions per hour or per day, are we making any accommodation in this budget to try to help the high volume offices against the performance measures that Senator Yee is recommending?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that would be the other seven positions that are left in the field office staffing, 7.2 positions.
And those
are higher volume.
Those would be able to be applied wherever DMV would like them in terms of high volume offices.
Again, we have reduced, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Yee.
We have reduced and used the money to help with the field office.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we haven't reduced.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The agency's budget, when it was presented, had in their current service level, they had reduced positions and are currently holding those positions vacant pending approval of this budget.
That's my understanding that as to Senator Yee's number three alternative there, the DMV local office waiting time, this goal and estimates of moving this from 12.8 to 15 minutes waiting time was based upon the non-reopening of these offices. Is that right?
That is my understanding.
So with the offices now open, that and the increased staffing levels, we should be able to perhaps bring that back down to the 12.8 or whatever and reduce it from the 15 minutes waiting time.
Yes. Maybe we should ask, Mr. Chairman, ask for a revised performance measure now based upon the few offices being open.
We could certainly do that, and then they could provide that to you and or members of the committee.
Yeah, to Susie, and she can share it with all of us.
That'd be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll have Susie work within the department and do that then.
Mm-hmm.
Other issues, Senator Yee, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I also like to get information about percentage of bridges with low limits so that the aim is to reduce those percentage.
That'd be within the Highway Division, Mike.
Yes.
And Tom.
Mr. Chair, we can get that. I just want to indicate that that just relates to load limit issues for heavy vehicles, and I think that the center probably has some concern about bridges in general beyond that.
Mike, for the information that's been presented here, this is the, when you call it bridge value index, the current value as a percentage of the replacement value, that really doesn't speak to the issue of the ability of that bridge to carry any weight one way or the other. Is that right?
Mr. Chair, it's talking about how much deterioration has occurred in the bridge overall. So it's the best analytical equation we have to whether the bridge is functioning as it was designed.
Yeah.
Now, the second question that the center brings up is appropriate to talk about those that do have load limits placed on them. But it doesn't necessarily relate directly to the degree of maintenance that's going to be necessary, whereas the value index shows when you cross a certain threshold, you need to do maintenance on it. So we just want to make sure that if, the one that you're asking for, we can give you, but we don't view as being as broad of an index of how the overall infrastructure is doing.
I think that would be appropriate, because really the other would just be a brute number as opposed to an actual percentage of value remaining in the bridges, total within the whole spectrum of time. And at any one point in time, one bridge being out on a key point could make the difference of all of the transportation in Oregon, whereas the percentage it could change several percent and everybody would still be able to travel. So,
if I could inject before the members leave the last subject, I just want to make sure we're clear regarding DMV, because one statement was that the restoration of the positions that were cut from the field offices that were eliminated by restoring, I don't want to make sure that when Susie made a statement that restoring positions, I don't think she was referring to just the restoring of those field office positions that are being reestablished, but rather the overall reduction that occurred in the current biennium, and that what the committee is doing now is partially restoring that reduction. And those are the steps that will be taken to help hopefully improve on wait times. And of course, it's an estimate about where wait times go. It depends on number of people moving into the state. But that's what she was talking about in terms of restoration of some positions.
And that's a total of 22 positions, as I read the overall chart of FTE. Is that correct, that we're restoring a total of 22 positions in the package 203 for the Department of Transportation DMV portion?
Mr. Chair, we are increasing their budget by 22 FTE. Some of those are restored, some of those are new positions. They're all restoration. Thank you.
They're all restoration?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
so the overall FTE in DMV, is it an increase or a decrease after the adoption of the budget?
Mr. Chair, the decrease of 21 positions
from
their requested budget. It's an increase from current service level. The current service level is 833 FTE, and we're increasing it by 849.
Is this the DMV?
Yes.
We are increasing it by 849.
We are increasing it to 849 positions.
Mm-hmm. From 870.
From 833.
833.05.
The current service level is where they are currently staffed is 833.05.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The legislature is adopting with this budget 849.05.
So we have increased it by 16 positions.
By 21.5. Or 22 positions, excuse me.
So we should see a reduction in waiting time.
You won't see an increase in waiting time.
I mean, we'll see a reduction in waiting time.
Chair, if I could.
Mark?
This is very confusing because when the legislators left last time, they left with a 9901 budget at a higher level than we finished the biennium because of the revenue projections we had to go through. So when we talk about current service level, it's at a reduced current service level from what you saw at the beginning of the biennium. When you left last time, we were funded here in these divisions like DMV. By the end of the biennium, we were down. So what you see now is a reduced level. What is occurring through this partial restoration is a restoring of some of the cuts that were taken. And the net effect of all that, I think, is 7 positions down from what the legislature left with in 99. So overall, it's still down from what existed before. The action today helps restore us back partially towards where we were.
Let me ask a question relative to that, if I may. Well, we have you here, Mike, and the legislative fiscal is here as well. In that process, the transfer to the Highway Trust Fund occurs during and at the end of the biennium as the resources come in. If there were genuine needs that were demonstrated to bring us back up to the prior levels, the 1999 levels, and of course some of those positions were there to take care of computer systems and other modifications that were in the process. I recognize that. But if we found that there was a genuine need to enhance for whatever reason, I need to know that we have that ability to do that in the interim through the emergency process.
Mr. Chair, you always have that ability through the emergency board process to do that.
Because these are other funds.
That's correct.
Okay.
You also need to take into account legislation that was passed by the last legislatures to expand the driver's licensing from 4 years to 8 years, which was also to include a reduction of FTE in the department's budget. So while it's showing a reduction from that current service level, that about makes up the difference that they had projected would be a reduction as a result of that anyway.
Okay.
So they are continuously looking for ways to reduce those costs, provide some other efficiencies.
Excellent.
Sure, we appreciate the openness to returning if the need is there.
And I want to make sure that door is absolutely left wide open if there are issues, and certainly through the Joint Legislative Interim Management Technology Committee, we would have an opportunity to examine the issues relative to the IT needs of the department. So I think we need to be responsive, and particularly as we see and watch what happens, and Senator Yee, in spite of the fact that we may have term limits, you're still going to be around here about as long as I'll be around here. So based upon that, you and I will grow old together. Well, actually, I'll grow older faster, but we'll grow old together helping improve these numbers as we go along, I hope so.
So do you think, Mr. Chairman, we can ask for a revised sheet after the adoption of the budget, even though it's 7 positions less in DMV?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would think that might be appropriate, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure how they make all of those calculations, mm-hmm. but there's some certified smart folks out there that do, and I can put you in touch with the rest of his crew.
And what is the committee's thinking about putting them in priorities? So we can see.
I tend to agree with Representative Patridge. They're by division right now,
uh-huh.
and the only way that you could do that would perhaps maybe to vault the Transportation Safety Division up to number 1 and the Public Transit Division down to number, the last item on there, because
right.
it's got number 5 in it,
mm-hmm.
and then make sure that 2 and 3 in their departments, except that 4 falls in the Highway Division, the same with 2s, according to your priorities. But as long as, I don't know that it depends upon how important it is as to where they show up on the page, as long as they are on the page and they can be followed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that if people always read very quickly, and if you show them in priorities, we can see right away whether they reach their main goals of the department. So I think putting them in priorities would help busy people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I guess that could be done is that you could have then traffic fatalities per 1 million vehicle miles traveled and move it, and then show
as
Transportation
one.
Safety Division as number 1 up on top, and then with just in parentheses, Transportation Safety Division, and then follow that with the percentage of roads fair, good, better position, better condition,
right.
And then in parentheses, Highway Division, and go to number three. That
DMV.
What the, right, and then again, that would just be DMV in parentheses at the end of that. And then that would leave half a dozen more when it was all done.
Yes, four is bridges.
Yes.
With percentage of load limits.
Right. Okay. And the department could reorder those and again I think if the department has done what they've done based upon just division by division,
mm-hmm.
Those are all important. And if you'd like to see those in a different order, I think that they would just mean that they would just put in parentheses after them the division that they're in, Transportation Safety Division and so forth. Okay, other comments? Representative Johnson.
You were talking about certified smart people, if you'll accept a question from a certified not smart person.
Oh, come
on. Here's mine. For the information technology exchange that you and Senator Yee just had, I'm trying to understand the difference between and the information technology stuff that DMV asked for, about the difference between putting it in their limitation and not in the ending balance. Help me with the decision about why, what the recommendation is not to include it in their ending balance.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, when discussing this with Advancing E-Government on the technology packages, there wasn't enough information available at the time to determine what the recommendation would be for what the costs are for those packages to put them in the expenditure limitation. For this department, it does not harm them not to have it in their expenditure limitation to come back and explain and provide that information to the Joint Legislative Information Management Technology Committee. So we're recommending that they provide that additional detailed information before an expenditure limitation can be established.
And then the information technology committee, is there an appearance before the e-board?
Yes.
In this?
Yes.
One thing I'd be curious to know from the agency is whether or not there are such significant timing issues on any of these information technology issues. I know that sometimes getting through, I worked for ODOT for 5 years, and I know sometimes getting through the commission process and to get on their agenda and then to get on the e-board's agenda, that sometimes the constellations don't all line up quite right. And I am just anxious to make sure that we're not making it impossible for them to function awaiting permission to get on all of these agendas and come through the system.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, these are all new proposals and their current work is going to continue. It doesn't preclude them from continuing until they can get to the September Emergency Board or the Joint Legislative Information Management Technology Committee.
And I let me just maybe make certain that I understand this $2.5 million is in the ending balance. That will mean that they have the expenditure limitation, or are we moving that out of the expenditure limitation? Well, should you say it's not an expenditure limitation?
That's correct.
Okay,
that's correct.
All right.
It'll just remain as part of the department's ending balance. The department won't be able to spend it anywhere else either.
Right, right. And so then when it goes through the information management technology and then to the e-board, then at that particular point, then it'll be given both the direction, the blessing of the direction that they're headed with regard to their IT systems, and then the authority to go ahead and move that over to the expenditure limitations and ability to schedule this fund. Senator Quano is recognized.
I just want to clarify where Senate Representative Johnson was going on the timeline. They go to the e-commerce committee and then to the e-board. Is that what you were saying?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler and Senator Clarno, yes, the meetings are held very close to one another, within a week of each other, generally.
That's the timeline that I was wondering. So is it would be sort of consecutive meetings?
Normally one is held on Tuesday, and then the other two are held Thursday and Friday.
The same
one is held on Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday on the same week. so that they would have an opportunity to go through the process.
I'm familiar with e-board because, you know, it doesn't meet every month, but e-commerce does need it.
Usually right in the same week is what the policy has been. Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chair, respectfully, Senator Corner, there's a step missing, and that's to go through the Oregon Transportation Commission. And I can recall when I ran a division of ODOT that sometimes there was a 3-month wait to get on the OTC's calendar. And so I guess I'm looking for Mike to nod his head up and down that all the constellations can align in such a way, including permission to go to the OTC, that...
Well, he knows most of it.
That was maybe my problem. He didn't want to see me. You can get on perhaps faster than I could.
We'll make sure it's fine.
Okay.
All right. With that, then, we're prepared to go ahead and take the recommendations for the actual appropriation bill amendment on Senate Bill 5545 from Legislative Fiscal Office. Did you want to go through those at this point, Susie? Because we have actually approved the dollar amounts at one point or another. So do you want to? Do you want to just go ahead and show what has to be inserted where in the bill?
Mr. Chair, just to get it on the record, I'll just read through them, and
please,
then you can stop me if you have questions about it, and then
you can
adopt it in now. The recommendation to amend Senate Bill 5545 would appear in Section 1 for the general funds, page 1, line 8, to insert the word program between the words transportation and development, delete the $221,843 and insert
$223,243.
I mean 346. I'm sorry, I misread that. Page 1, line 10, delete $153,612 and insert $152,882 for driver motor vehicles. Page 1, line 11, delete $9,375,691 and insert $9,673,597. Page 1, line 12, delete $8,332,555 and insert $8,332,000. Page 1, line 13, delete $117,654 and insert $116,568. In Section 2, these are other funds, insert after maintenance and emergency relief. That was the action by the committee to combine the two program areas, delete $285,067,048 and insert $284,186,764. And insert a new subsection A for utility permits, inspections, engineering on highway rights of way, $3 million. This is this one does require a separate or may require a separate motion by the committee. It's to accommodate a bill that's on its way to this committee, House Bill 3068, that requires the department to establish a fee for utility work in the right of way, and the utility companies had asked that the expenditure limitation be separate so that there be legislative oversight on the expenditures in that category. And this is to accommodate that. The department agreed to do that, and I'm inserting it here.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Johnson.
Was the motivation behind that to make sure that the fees were reasonable?
That's correct. Page 1, line 21, delete.
Follow up, Representative Johnson.
Reasonable by whose definition? I guess I'm not quite sure how this is going to work. Will there be a process to determine the reasonableness?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, my understanding is that the cost is to cover the cost to do this, and the fees will be established at that rate. And if there's if the costs go up, then the department has in that bill by administrative rule the authority to increase the fees, but in order to increase the expenditure limitation, they'd have to come back to the legislature for that. And the legislature has the authority in the next session to accept that increase in fee or not, to reduce it and tell the agency to reduce their program if that's a problem.
Thank you.
Page 1, line 21, delete $291,791,385 and insert $284,237,175 for preservation program. Page one, line 22, delete 140,019,884 and insert 128,997,381 for bridges. Page one, line 23, delete 56,657,504 and insert 44,206,084 for highway safety. Page one, line 24, delete 47,992,385 and insert 56,685,879 for operations. Page one, line 25, delete 189,195,379 and insert 169,483,421 for modernization. Page one, line 26, delete seven, highway planning. And in page two, line one, delete and research the 24,024,134. That's going to be combined with the transportation development program later. Delete on page two, line two, delete eight and renumber to seven. Delete 114,491,716 and insert 170,390,051 for special programs. And insert the new subsection A, utility permits, inspection, engineering on highway rights of way of 1,600,000.
Now, is that in addition to the 3 million?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is. It's just work that's being done by a different program unit. Same work.
It isn't the same house building.
Yes, it is the same house building.
Okay, thank you.
Page 2, line 3, delete 9, emergency relief program, 2,100,286. In page 2, line 4, delete 10 and insert 8, delete 122,122,170 and insert 161,861,218 for local government program. Page 2, line 5, delete 11 and insert 9, delete 126,370,395 and insert 118,244,940 for driver and motor vehicles. Page 2, line 7, delete 12 and insert 10. That expenditure limitation for the DMV debt service remains the same as printed in the original bill. Page 2, line 8, delete 13 and insert 11. Delete 35,771,119 and insert 41,524,971 for motor carrier transportation. And page 2, line 9, delete 14, transportation development and insert 12. Transportation program development, delete 33,718,791 and insert 57,283,894. Page 2, line 10, delete 15 and insert 13. Delete 19,759,719 and insert 9,644,413 for public transit. Page 2, line 11, delete 16 and insert 14. Delete 7,505,409 and insert 7,479,755 for rail. Page 2, line 12, delete 17 and insert 15. Delete 9,245,142 and insert $9,238,071 for transportation safety. Page 2, line 13, delete 18 and insert 16. Delete 251,756 and insert 249,757 for the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. Page 2, line 15, delete 19 and insert 17. The 2,529,970 for capital improvements remains the same, limitation remains the same. Page 2, line 16, delete 20 and insert 18. Delete 114,918,713 and insert $114,181,343 for central services. In section 3 for federal funds, on page 2, line 23, delete transportation development and insert transportation program development and delete 289,086 and insert $169,476. Page 2, line 24, delete 6,164,610 and insert 6,156,557. Page 2, line 26, delete 8,391,938 and insert 26,995,470. Page 2, line 27, delete 15,049,666 and insert $22,862,239 for rail. And then page 2, line 28, delete $13,257,560 and insert $13,253,274.
You've heard the recommendations of the Legislative Fiscal Office, and relative to House Bill 3068, Representative Patridge moves that we include the insertion of page 1, line 20, new subsection paragraph A, utility permits, inspections, engineering, and highway rights of way. We'll include that at $3 million. And on page 2, line 2, relative to House Bill 3068, inserting new subsection paragraph A, utility permits, inspections, engineering, and highway rights of way at $1.6 million. Is there any objection to insertion of the new language into the bill? Seeing none, we'll order that. Relative to the remainder of the recommendations made by Legislative Fiscal, Representative Johnson.
If you'll just let me worry this a little bit longer, I got a couple more questions.
Okay.
Ms. Jordan, help me understand with the DMV call center. You and I talked about this a little bit today, and I just am not sure I understood what you told me. As I understand it, there are two people there and no money.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, no. There are two people there and the dollars for salaries. That's the
$160,122.
Yes, $160,122.
Okay. And one more question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
The question about the women's correction facility and the use of those folks with DMV, I understood from the testimony that that was a very successful program. And if I understand the LFO recommendation correctly, we're deleting the part of the relocation request, that we're paying to put the utilities in but not paying any operational costs of that program, not including those in the budget. Am I understanding that correctly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, no. What the recommendation is that the agency absorb that in their base budget. When we did the review of their actual expenditure patterns, it was noted that there is sufficient resource there to pay for these ongoing costs for that program.
We're helping to rewire to the new location, but not any of the operational costs. So.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I don't look at it that way. It is. They have the resource already built into their budget to pay those costs.
Okay.
And the $81,000 is a one-time cost only?
Yes.
Okay. So relative to the balance of the recommendations, relative to the amendments on Senate Bill 5545 for the Oregon Transportation Division, Representative Patrick now moves the recommendations of Legislative Fiscal for those amendments through line 28 on page 2. Beginning at line 8 on page 1. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And final recommendation, the final bullet, or did you want to go back up to the actual budget bill?
Mr. Chair, approving all of these amendments, you have approved their budget in the amount of $1,766,465,490 and 4,717.33 FTE. That does not include the non-limited portion of $64,836,994. And then the last recommendation is the last bullet there to recommend approval for the subcommittee that's being assigned the capital construction budget bill, House Bill 5029, $1,001,000 other funds for those capital construction projects in their budget.
And so we've already approved the $1,766,465,490, and concomitant with that was the full-time equivalency of 4,717.33 FTE. And now the recommendation to approve the subcommittee assignment capital construction in House Bill of 5029 at $1,001,000 other funds. Are there any objections? If not, we will so order. Top of page 4.
If you go to your yellow page, here, the grand total is here and with the non-limited others here.
Oh, okay.
My yellow page is somewhere else, from yesterday.
There you go.
Thank you, I appreciate that. With that then, Representative Patridge now moves that Senate Bill 5545, as amended, be referred to the full Ways and Means Committee with due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Seeing and noting them and recognizing full form present with the exception of having Representative Ringel here, we will sort her that and carriers to full and let's see, this will go straight to the Senate and then to the House. Full. Representative Johnson, would you like to carry the Department of Transportation bill to full and to the House?
Yes, sir.
All right. And Senator Yee, would you like to carry to the Senate this?
I'll be pleased to. Is Senator Quamo going to co-carry the bill?
I will stand up and say that they should vote as Senator Yee says.
I think there had been originally a request that one and then both, and as long as you're comfortable both co-carrying it, I'm going to show that both Senators Yee and Quarno, in contra-alphabetical order, will carry the bill, if that's okay.
Contrary to alphabetical order.
Contra-alphabetical, backwards.
All right. You say a big part, I say a little.
You get to talk based upon a number of net letters in your last name. How's that?
Not many.
Not many and a little more. Okay. Thank you very much. We will then close the work session on Senate Bill 5545. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now open to public hearing on Senate Bill 5010, Economic Development Department, and welcome Robin Lamont. Suki Wertfuss continues on as the subcommittee assistant as our clerk today.
Mr. Chair, members, when we left this, we had completed the Community Development Fund walkthrough, and I believe we are ready to resume with the program services walkthrough. And if Lisa Pearson could do the crosswalk, and then Mr. Scott handle the policy action packages, I think we have to go.
Let's see, do we have...
should be behind the green tab.
Okay, I don't think anyone has these handed out.
Maybe we should take a very brief break.
Why don't we do that? We'll just, we'll still have these.